Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the Hypermatic Noise Podcast. It's great to have my good mate Mick Gledhill back on the show. Gledhill's a fucking hilarious dude. He was in the military for about 30 years. He's been on the show a bunch of times, and it's always a great time when he's here. We spoke a lot about Mick's time as a skydiving instructor, and that took up a lot of the episode. Actually, it's really fucking interesting. He's got a lot of cool stories, and he's just a fucking great dude who does a lot of good work for veterans and animal charities. Really hope you guys enjoy the episode. As always, this episode's brought to you by The Faction Radio, the best place to listen to heavy metal music in Australia and around the world. And if I sound like shit right now, it's because I'm crook as a dog and I wish someone would shoot me in the head. But hopefully when you listen to this episode, you'll feel better than I do. So get involved. Thanks very much. Please leave a positive comment or a five-star rating wherever you listen to the show.
Podcast initiation complete. Warning. This episode may cause brain damage. Hypermanic noise.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm back with Mick Gledhill. How are you, man?
Yeah, good, great, mate. Thanks for having us again.
Yeah, I had a great time last time. It was so fucking funny.
Yeah.
The Death by Jet Ski stories got a lot of good feedback. I think a lot of people have considered killing their partner the same way.
It's probably a good idea.
All right, so I found another piece of brilliance on the internet that I want to hear your feedback on.
Oh, I cannot wait to see what this is going to be, hey.
It doesn't involve fucking animals, but it does involve fucking of some sort.
Oh.
So, yeah, I don't know. I thought that might be your speed.
Well, you know, I'll roll with whatever you got going.
All right, let's do it.
This time she's determined to consummate their marriage at last.
So yeah, married to the Eiffel Tower.
Well, that's, she's a fussy girl, right?
I guess. Loves the French.
She wants, someone that's going to support her.
Yes, strong.
Towering above her.
Yeah, she's got a height complex.
Yeah, and, she's putting the tongue in there.
Yep.
Straight into that still. Look at that. She's so happy.
It's a challenge to be truly intimate with a public structure.
Yeah, no shit.
Oh.
But where there's a will,
there's
a way.
There we go.
Where there's a will.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing all
can
she
you
can.
Imagine seeing this shit? Going to the Eiffel Tower and seeing this crazy bitch grinding it?
I wonder how many other tourists are doing that.
I don't know.
Oh, boy. Well, every time I come here, I always feel that there's some distance. Some barrier between her and I, but now that
and it's a woman.
Oh, it's a same-sex relationship.
Yep. I mean, I'm one with her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm connected to her.
Because you can get married and.
I mean, there's nothing between us right
now.
Oh,
here we. Oh no!
Look out! It's on. She is.
She's fully got the beaver up against it.
Wow, that wouldn't be warm either, would it?
No. Well, they mentioned that.
Well, isn't that paint like lead paint?
I don't know. Look at all those fucking cuts.
Yeah, I never imagined this day whatever happened. But the heat of my body is flowing into her cold steel. The cold of her steel is flowing into my body.
Yeah, she's loving it.
We're reaching equilibrium where we both are the same temperature.
No,
what's going to happen when the tower has an orgasm?
It's an earthquake, I think.
People are going to fly off.
Is it not unpleasant that she's so cold?
It's actually quite pleasant that she's cold because I can feel the exchange of temperature between us, which is an exchange of energy, and that energy is very spiritual.
Frozen cooter.
She likes to have a cold beaver. That's what she's saying with those big rivets.
Yeah, and those dead eyes tell you that it's legitimate.
I think... Yeah, they're beyond dead. I mean, she's taking something there, hey?
And do you feel that she loves you back?
Oh, gosh, yes. She definitely loves me back. I can feel that. I can feel her right now. And I don't care if people don't believe that I can communicate with her. It doesn't matter to me. And really, the only parties involved are her and myself in this relationship. So people call me cuckoo, I don't care. What we have is real. And if it's only real to me, and it's only real to her, it's fine.
Someone needed to give this person a hug when they were little.
She's got such nice skin too, this lady.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. How is she going to break it to the parents?
Mum, Dad.
Yeah, you're going to have to come to France for the wedding,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm not going to fucking France.
Yeah. Nah, where's the piss up?
You're a lesbian and we've got to go to France.
Let me know when the keg's on.
So what the fuck?
Well, I think this woman, you know, everybody's got to have a hobby, right? But she was rubbing a beaver up against cold steel.
Yeah.
And she was saying...
It feels good. It feels good to reach equilibrium. Like, I've never met a woman that's like, oh, yeah, get my pussy cold.
Mm. I'm thinking she's driving along one day, gets a flat tire, has to change the wheel, and notices how cold the lever is for undoing the nuts, the wheel nut, and starts, instead of changing the tire, she's having to go at the cold steel.
Ooh, yeah.
She gets sidetracked, right?
Well, I don't get it. Well, obviously I don't get it. You're married to a fucking, the Eiffel Tower, but... She's like, oh, it's, you know, we're truly intimate. It's hard that we could never really be truly alone. Well, pick a different thing.
What would you want to be with someone where other people walk all over them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Got no, the Eiffel Tower's got no self-esteem.
That's a submissive thing she's got going, right?
She likes the power.
No answering back.
No. Well, I reckon if we looked into that more, she would have conversations...
Yeah.
With it, because I did see a guy as well that is in a relationship with 15 inflatable animals.
Whoa.
Some would say that's too many.
Well, I mean, that's a fortnight covered, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
And he sits there and chats to them and puts food out for them at the dinner table and stuff.
Which they eat, no doubt.
Oh, clearly. and then one of them, he gets back sass. One of them's sitting there and he goes, oh, fine, we can talk more about you if you want. Like,
so what do you want to eat tonight, baby?
Yeah. Oh, fuck you, we're not watching the Avengers again.
Fucking hell.
It's... I love... This is My Strange Addiction show. It is a goldmine.
Yeah. It's amazing what makes the brain tick for her to... You know, for any sort of connection with things, right?
Yeah.
Because that's a man-made thing. And she has a connection to that.
Yeah.
And she's turned on by having cold steel against her
hoo-hoo,
you know? I think that's just a general thing, right? You know, you know when you have hot sex and then in you go with the ice cube, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello.
But there's a person involved. I mean, I've never looked at my dishwasher and gone, all right.
Yeah.
Or... And the funny thing is a lot of these things where the people are in relationships with buildings or cars or anything like that, they're same sex.
There you go.
But there's no sex to a building or...
Same sex and they don't want to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm happy to just stay here for the rest of my life, right?
Not going
to
travel.
This tower is going nowhere, right?
Yeah.
I hope you like France.
Yeah.
You know?
Stability.
Yeah. Imagine if it was in Iraq, right?
Yeah.
What are you living here for?
Well, what happened... I mean, another lady is married to the Golden Gate Bridge, and she goes and visits the bridge.
Is that right?
Yeah, and she's got a bit of the bridge that she carries around with her and kisses that they must have... done work on it or something, and that was an old bit, and somehow she's ended up with it. And she stands on the bridge making out with this bit of steel, and everyone's walking past her like, what the fuck are you doing?
Man, you should... Look, have you ever thought about jumping off that fucking
thing? But it's better than what we were talking about last time you were on about, you know, people that are fucking animals. At least...
Yeah. There's no harm. One gets hurt, right?
No.
Other than the tourists that have paid money, and then some chick's rubbing her bloody self up again, like frottage, isn't it? That's what it's called, right? And you're in France too, so let's use the French word for
that. And that's the home of that. Oi, dog. Fucking hell. Little bastard. Sit down.
Oh, it's looking good. Like your jacket.
Yeah. I paid to go on the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, I have too.
I wouldn't have cared. I would have thought that was great. But if I was up there with a kid or my niece and someone's doing that, I would not have been pleased.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that tower has seen a lot of Nazis in its day too.
Yeah, it has.
You know, so...
Is this what Anne Frank died for? So that people can rub their cooter up against the Eiffel Tower? I mean, it's a different country, but Like, is that what freedom's all about?
I think it's probably a secret obsession for maybe a lot of French people, right? Because they go, you know, this is our structure.
And they
like it.
They're into romance. I mean,
she's an American bird, that bird. Wasn't she? Yeah. A crazy one at that.
What makes you think that?
Well, you know, she's not fussy. She is fussy.
She is fussy. She's got to go to the other side of the world.
Must have big rivets.
Yeah. Well, it's an erect structure. It's a phallic structure.
Must be hard at all times.
It is. It never goes soft.
No, always firm.
Always firm.
Yeah.
Standing straight. But it's a woman. So, is it transgender?
No, I think it's the butch relationship.
Okay.
Because she's quite feminine. She's got really nice skin and stuff, you know what I mean? And the nice glasses. Like she's a, you know, like a architect or something, you know? Like she looks like she's educated but crazy, you know?
Yeah.
Like you get those savants that are really smart, but yet they're...
I don't know what's going on there.
Crazy socially, you know?
I think there's got to be some sort of defect as a child. This sort of stuff doesn't just... But then again, you've got people like Ted Bundy that were... Everything was right in his life, and then there was some switch that flicked and cut people's heads off.
So imagine being her parents on holidays when she's nine, and you're at the Eiffel Tower going, "Will you please stop fucking the Eiffel Tower? We're just here for a look. We're not here to fuck it, right?"
My parents were probably yelling the same thing when I was sliding down the pole at the playground.
Many times, naked.
Yeah, naked. Yeah.
What do you got that lead for, man?
This was last week too. Not even when I was a kid.
Oh, olive oil. That's the go.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff.
I kind of wish I saw that when I was in France. I would have felt like the entry money was well spent.
It's just great views, right? And it doesn't move as a structure, so you feel safe on it.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it. But to think that you got to paint that thing, you know, like...
It's one of those things, like the Golden Gate Bridge is one of them. By the time they finish painting it, they've got to start painting the other end again.
Yeah.
Just a consistent thing. And also, when you've got, you know, this crazy bitch's cum all over it, it's probably adds a bit of work to the job.
Probably acid eating at the paint. Yeah. Right? Oh, rust. Someone's fucked it again.
Yeah.
You know?
You know how in public places they put those little rivets on seats and stuff so skateboarders can't go on it?
Yeah.
They have to start putting spikes in there.
Packets of poison.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Or glue, but she'd probably like being glued to it.
I wonder if she actually lives there and like she's there every day.
Right. I would guess that's probably a possibility.
When she's not in the ward, right?
In the ward, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's I've been in the ward, and that's exactly the people you meet in there.
Are they allowed to have trinkets like that? Would she be allowed to have an Eiffel Tower trinket?
I would say so.
So she could, you know, like a mini Eiffel Tower?
Yeah, I saw a lady that is British, and she's in a relationship with the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
As you know.
Another lady-in-lady relationship, lady, right? Yeah.
And she calls her Libby. That's
nice,
name.
Yeah.
You know, nice affectionate nickname.
But it's an intimate, yeah.
But her house is full of little, like she's got a life-sized, her size thing of Libby.
Yeah.
And then everywhere in the house is just Statue of Liberty, Statue of Liberty. Yeah. She makes out with it and grinds up against it. And
I wonder what in her life triggered that affection. You know, what is it that triggers in their brain that they go, you know what? It's like people that have that condition called picker.
Yeah.
Where they eat their own bog, right?
Oh, yeah.
They eat anything, but bog is on the menu with other things, right? Yeah. So
they originate from Germany?
They have a particular thing.
Yeah.
It's a particular thing, right? They go, oh, eat dinner plates or fucking whatever.
Yeah.
So what is it that triggers it? What happened in their head that they go, you know, it's okay to eat, you know, 7,000 rolls of fucking toilet paper in your lifetime. You know what I mean?
My sister's friend from where I come from in Queensland is a social worker for drug addicts and stuff.
Perfect, Queensland.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and there's a section of it's predominantly the Aboriginal community of drug addicts.
Right.
But they shit in a bag and bury it.
Yeah.
And then once it's been there for a while, they get it out and sniff it to get high.
Wow.
I can't remember the name of it. There is a name and I'm blanking on it. But that goes on.
That's hardcore. That's
yeah.
Isn't petrol cheaper? Oh, no.
I don't know.
Because they changed the petrol thing too, didn't they?
Yeah.
So.
I don't know.
I haven't heard of that before. Shit in the bag, put it in the ground, let it cook.
And then.
Let it fester, open it up, get a lung full.
Imagine that.
I wonder what kind of kick would you get out of that?
Right? I don't know.
I reckon my kick would be chronic diarrhea.
Yep.
I think that would be probably the first result. A power spew would probably follow.
But diarrhea in that instance would be a benefit because then you'd have more of your drug.
Just backing up. Just filling her up.
So every time you get sick from getting high, you get more drugs.
So
you don't get that from meth, do you? You don't end up with more meth from doing meth.
I've got a quick one for you about really bad liquids. I used to skydive, and whenever you do 100 jumps, right, you do a thing called a grunge, right?
Okay.
So as soon as you land on your 100th jump, people come over, grab you, tie you down, and we had one particular guy that we made a grunge up. So for about 3 weeks, we would piss, spew, put beer in it, food, scraps from the barbecue, fested for 3 weeks, did his 100th jump. This is in Darwin. Tied him to a wheelchair, and then just threw all this shit all over him, right? And we just said to him, look, just keep your mouth closed because it's got piss and shit in it. And he did get a little bit sick, but you can imagine, I did my 100th jump in Indonesia, and I was just dreading what they were going to do to me. And as it turned out, I just got thrown into a bin, so that wasn't too bad. But
well, in Indonesia, that's like kind of going anywhere.
That's just like going to the shop.
Yeah. That's fucked
follow
up.
Follow the money drain, right? Yes. But that's the thing. If you skydive, a lot of people just do 99 and go, that's enough for me, right?
No shit. Just to avoid that.
No, I just made that up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How did you get involved in that side of it? Because weren't you in communications in the armed forces?
Yeah, it was another thing I used to do on the weekend.
Yeah.
And then what happened was I did it for a few years. I got my instructor rating in the mid-90s, and then the Air Force had their 75th anniversary, so they decided to have a parachute display team.
Mm-hmm.
And so I spent a whole year traveling around the country, jumping into air shows out of Dakotas, Caribou, Hurt, and we used to do formation jumping and all that sort of stuff. So instructor on the weekend was great. Goulburn was where I mainly did a lot of stuff in New South Wales. But I loved skydiving. It's just the best feeling. Yeah.
I've always wanted to do it, but with my back, I talked to a guy who was in a similar role. He was a paratrooper, still skydives, but he's got back issues. But he's like, look, I'm nearly 80.
Yeah. Wow.
So for me, if I die or get injured, I've only got a few more years to put up with it. And he said, with you, if you've got a bad back, I wouldn't recommend it.
Well, I'll tell you what we used to do for bad backs, even if you're still in the skydive, is that you roll the nose of the parachute really tight when you pack it.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it delays the opening of the parachute. So it might take you 500 feet to open rather than a snappy 120, say, right?
Okay.
So the faster you open, the harder it is on your back. And like it really is even with a good back, right? So we call it a snivel. So that takes, 500 feet and then it just pops open and it's like a gentler. But don't forget too, you're doing terminal as well, you're doing nearly 300 clicks. So
did you have any near misses?
I've never had a malfunction. I've seen malfunctions. I've seen people crash, burn and almost die from jumping. Yeah, like impact from really bad landings. We've had a couple of mates expire from that.
What opens too late or they
landing really hard, they call them hook turns. So your approach for landing is into the wind, but sometimes you'll turn too late and then you're actually in a half turn when you hit the ground.
Oh.
And you're coming at speeds of 60 kilometers or more, right?
Yeah.
And it's almost like a face plant at that speed on hard terra firma. So you have to be really vigilant about where you're going to land and how you're going to land. But sometimes, people get a bit carried away. But that's the highest rate of deaths, I believe, is hook turns crashing into the deck on landing.
Mm.
Not so much in free fall. So
yeah,
there's an indoor skydiving center now. I fly.
I want to do it. Would that be better?
Do you want to go and do that together?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Let's do it because that would be really good for your back.
Yeah.
And it's all easy peasy stuff too.
Yeah, because you don't have that jerk of the chute. You just wanted to do that for a long time.
A mate of mine and I took a large girl for a skydive in Darwin. She would have been 110 kilos, which is right on the borderline. And the whole idea of skydiving is to arch really hard, so have a really good fall rate.
Okay,
so we exit the aircraft. She's an exceptionally large girl and we're hanging on either side of her, right? And we're shaking her, she wouldn't arch, and she's all over the sky. And so I started punching her in the ribs. Right. And she wouldn't arch. And I just looked at my mate Drew, like, as in, I tried. Mm. And next thing, he pops up on the bat and he drives two knuckles fair into her date, right? Mm. Like really hard. And she just pops straight into a perfect arch. Like right into her date really hard, right? And I'm laughing my ass off. Anyway, she adds the parachute. I scoot down and she lands. Then, you know, Drew lands and we do a post-jump debrief. And we said, how has he jumped? She goes, typically, she says, oh, I don't remember much, but my ribs are really hurting.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, yeah, that's just from the opening shock from the parachute, right? And then I said to my mate, Drew, imagine how her bum feels at the moment. Because he really rocketed one up her ass, yeah, right?
She probably enjoyed that.
Well, she would have felt it because he really pounded her right in the date. So
what would have happened if she didn't arch?
Well, the thing is, she would have had an unstable opening. We would have had to have held her until the parachute came out. We just let her go at the final moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we had released her, she could have twisted, gone through the lines,
mm-hmm.
And then probably would have died from that, you know? Because the reserve would have gone into the main and, you know, if you twisted up,
yeah.
Having a twist or getting caught up another parachute is the ultimate nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
That is the ultimate nightmare. So happened to me and Drew, same guy.
Okay.
We both jumped out at the same time. His parachute came out. I got entangled completely in his parachute. Like it was like being shoved into a condom, right? Okay. And it was against my face. And we're in freefall from 6,000 feet.
It'd stick to you like cling wrap, wouldn't it?
It was a little bit like that, right? Yeah. So I've got like a jumpsuit on, but on my skin and my face, it was clinging to my face like it was trying to suffocate me.
Yeah.
And we're almost going into the terminal, right? But what had happened was my pilot chute managed to snivel out because I dumped just before I got wrapped, and it's made its way out, and then it caught air, pulled the main parachute out, and then pulled me out of Drew's parachute. And that's what...
Fuck.
Saved us from fucking going into the deck wrapped in each other's parachute, right? So that was a really bizarre experience.
Yeah. Is it hard to get back up after that?
No, we jumped again that day. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that'd be the best thing to do, right?
Well, the pilot actually saw it happen and he said to me, why didn't you hang on to the canopy? And I said, why would I do that? He goes, then you could do a base pin canopy, like I call it canopy relative work. We have one, the canopies are stacked.
Okay.
So if we're falling and a parachute comes out and you're tangled in it, then yours comes out, you just hang on to it. So you get the two canopies like that. Okay. And we used to land, they call them biplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have four stacks,
yep.
Massive stacks like that. So it's all part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But 96, big year. I think I did about 400 jumps.
Jesus.
Did just about most air shows around the country. It was just epic.
Are there any groupies for that scene?
No, it's just an internal. It was only like about 10 of us Air Force guys that were, and chicks that were experienced skydivers that formulated a team for a PR mm-hmm. for the Air Force. That's all it was. So
that would have been fun.
It was just, like, to get free jumps at a military aircraft.
Yeah.
It's just sick.
So you got to jump out the back of it?
Yeah. Perks, Caribou, Dakota, choppers. We had sick. A lot of aircraft. Jumped a big, massive flag.
I've seen I think you got a photo of that, don't you?
Yeah. It was just the most epic experience ever.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we're still in touch and some of the guys still jump. Some are chief instructors, which is the highest level you can get to.
Okay.
And two of them run top end tandems in Darwin. Drew is one of the CIs. So.
Do you still jump?
No, I haven't jumped since December 2000. But okay. I do intend to get back into it. Yeah.
Why is that?
I had a break to make money in property,
mm-hmm.
and then I had a medical issue,
yeah.
and that's just cleared up recently.
Yeah.
So now I'm sort of ready to get back into it again.
Yeah, cool.
So I'm looking at going to Darwin for winter and then jumping during the winter up there.
Nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful up there to jump.
Yeah. They have a similar issue because I'm learning to fly ultralights where you, where if you turn too sharply, you slip because the angle of attack's too high.
That's a hook turn.
Yeah,
right?
It's the same sort of thing. Yeah. And you'll hit the deck. They've done simulations with it where people are in cloud and they don't have instrument ratings. And I think the average time for people to hit the deck is about a minute and a half or something.
Wow.
Because you just don't realize how much... Once you hit that angle, you just go and you slide down.
Yeah.
And if you've got cloud, you don't have your reference points. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, shit. The only way out of this turn is to either keep banking and come around, which will get me to the deck sooner, or try and correct it, which in those planes, exceeds the structural capabilities of the aircraft. So yep. then you'll snap the wing off and hit the deck.
That's great. And you're gaining speed at the same time,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you gain speed into the turn anyway.
Mm.
So you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Yep. Yeah.
But, mm. yeah, it's fun, but I think the rate of death in that is pretty high too with ultralights.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And it's yeah. Is it the same with parachuting where most of it is human factor, like when it comes to...
Well, I reckon it can be nature in the way of thermals. In yep. summer, thermals kill a lot of people.
Just because they're so...
I want to say a lot of people, I mean like the high percentage of people that crash and burn are from thermals, that yep. canopies and that shut down from a thermal, they get lift and then they get dumped.
Just because it's so inconsistent and hard
yeah,
to predict.
Absolutely, yeah. absolutely. Yeah, so that's a real big factor. But yeah, I mean, just pilot error would be part of it as well, mm. you know. But hungover, fuck, we used to jump pissed and hungover in Darwin all the time. Stone, you yeah. know, magic mushrooms one time. It was like
that
we went to
been cool.
Oh, we went to Bar, went to Indo for 2 weeks, jumped on Lombok Island, then did sunset jumps on Kuta Beach on Bali. It was called the Bali Boogie in 91.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we got on the mushrooms for like 3 days, drank, we went hard and then jumped. It was just epic. It was mm-hmm. just, it was like a waterfall of people just flowing out of a herc.
Yeah.
It was just epic. That's all the only way I could describe it. Yeah.
I would love to do it, and it sucks that I won't ever be able to do it. It's just not worth the reward doesn't outweigh the risk with my issue. But I've been on an active volcano in Vanuatu.
Whoa.
Where it erupts all the time.
Yeah.
So we walk up the top. I was 12 at the time. It's still to this day the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And the guide is kicking all these rocks away from where we're standing. And we go, what's right. that? Oh, that's lava bombs that came
no
up over
shit.
The night.
Wow.
And I've got one here, actually, that I snuck back in. But that, there's no other experience that yeah. I can that I can compare it to.
Yeah.
Just the raw power of the earth. And do you remember that movie Backdraft? Kurt
no,
Russell?
The, oh, yeah, yeah, it's a fire. Yeah,
one,
yeah, yeah.
Where the fire goes through the walls and shit, and it's like... makes yeah. this sort of sound.
Yeah.
It's like that mixed with a jet engine.
Yeah.
Where it'll go ba-dum, 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 and then it goes quiet.
Yeah.
And then you hear the sound build up and
wow.
And then it goes silent for a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
And then ba-dum, 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 like a cannon.
Yeah.
And the lava when it comes out looks like big cuts of meat.
Wow.
And you hear it going fuck, 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 fuck
yeah,
as it's landing.
Yeah, right.
And it looks like big steaks that are just molten red.
No.
But you know, as we're driving up the path to get up there, there's fucking steam coming out of the road, and I was terrified, and I was obsessed with volcanoes.
Dante's Peak, right?
Yeah, exactly, because I watched all those movies. And
yeah.
then I'm up there, and towards the end the lava bombs were coming near us,
right?
So it was this huge explosion, and all the men went fuck, run. We all turned around, and all the ladies were standing on the edge going, wow, it's so pretty. And we're going, fucking run. And then as we left, we're driving around the bottom of the mountain. There was a bunch of lava came up where we were.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we got there, the guy goes, oh, we used to take you, there's three vents. We used to take you around to the other two because they're more
active. Yeah.
But a couple of people one person got their leg melted off, and
what?
Someone else got, like, died somehow.
Get the fuck out of here.
So we don't go around there anymore.
Travel insurance?
You'd hope so.
Oh, you know what I want to know, right?
Yeah.
Is how the hell did you smuggle that lava rock back in the country, right? Was that did you do it jail-wise, man? Did you do it up the old
I was
old
12,
mate?
Man. That wasn't on my radar.
Hey,
man. Yeah, things didn't...
Oh, your dad did it for you then.
Yeah. No, nothing went up my ass till I went to Christian school.
Oh. No, I won't ask about it.
But...
Mum, can you put this rock with?
But that's the only thing that I could think would compare to something like skydiving.
What was the smell like? Was that real sulfuric?
Sulfur.
Yeah.
It smelled like eggs and fireworks.
Yeah, yeah. I think I would be more scared of the volcano because it's unpredictable, whereas skydiving is like a risk-assessed sport, right?
And you've got control of it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean... I've never had a malfunction. I've done 698 jumps, I think, my last tally is. So,
Jesus.
Never had a mal.
Yeah.
Touch wood. So it's a safe sport if you, you know, pack it right, take your time, don't do it hungover. Yeah.
Do you think you were lucky to get out of it unscathed all the times you were hungover or fucked up? Or...
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, without a question of a doubt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's... you see, some people have accidents where they shouldn't have had accidents, right?
Yeah.
They just land in a shit spot.
Yeah.
Like I had a mate of mine, Pete, who was an instructor, and he steered... Because he has to steer the student from the ground, and he steered it into a fucking water tower, right? She face plants into the water tower, which is 60 foot high... leaves a massive triangular red spray of blood on the fucking... and then gets a hang-up on the parachute because she hits it and then slides down, and then the canopy gets caught up in the water tower, right? So then on a Sunday, we have to organise a cherry picker, a 60-foot reach, to get this bird down who's just hanging in a harness, because then you get suspension shock, right?
Yeah.
Spends too long in the harness, right? And then it's got all this blood. And my mate Pete, who is the instructor, because... I remember saying to him just before the jump, I said to him, it might be a bit windy because she's only done about four or five jumps.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right on the borderline. He goes, oh, she should be right. She's pretty good. But it just gusted up when they were jumped out the plane. And he was so mortified that, because she had to go to hospital, that he would not leave her bedside, gave up skydiving, and I heard that I got married.
Oh, there you go.
So... yeah. How's that for a story, a loved story?
Yeah, a lot of people get guilted into marriage, and that's... Once you nearly kill someone and throw them into a water tower, I think you probably got to marry them.
Oh, it was it was traumatic.
Oh, that would be brutal.
I could see in his face how traumatized he was because he was on the battens that steered her into the fucking thing.
Hank, what do you mean you steered her from the ground?
Well, we have to... Once they open the parachute, we smoke it down at 4,000 feet. They open... And then we smoke it down to 2,500, right? So while they're under canopy, we race down under canopy, like we really hook it down. You know, we're talking about
spiral down,
land, and there's a big arrow on the ground. Uh-huh. We run around and they steer in the direction that the arrow tells them to do.
See.
And we do that. And then we go to battens at about 500 feet.
Yeah.
And then we steer them with a batten, left hand, right hand. And then at the flare, because you want to know how to flare by yourself, right?
Yeah.
But he steered her into a fucking... the only water tower on the airfield, right? Every other building is low level, but for some reason, pops are into that. You couldn't have fucking tried if you're doing an accuracy competition, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so they got married. wow. Yeah, I really felt for both of them. But ended up... they're both happy, so good on them, man.
Mm.
You know?
Well, maybe... your ex probably should have tried that instead of the jet ski.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's how I met her, was through her sister, through skydiving in Goulburn.
All right.
I probably shouldn't say that.
You're
getting away too much.
What are the chances?
Yeah, none.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, great days, mate.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever thought of, like, starting your own skydiving business or anything like that? Or is it too much that insurance costs and everything would be through the roof, wouldn't they?
I'd just go up to Durian Bay and speak to Pete Lonan there and just ask him for, you know, to get current again.
Yeah.
Watch, get the qualifications. He just checks you out and you get back into it.
Yeah.
But I really want to do it in Darwin. Probably be there, Durian Bay and Darwin would be the two places that I'll jump.
Have you ever done stand-up in Darwin?
No, I really want to do it.
Yeah.
Because I think they're my people, my type of crowd, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few guys here. Jeff Staten's gone up recently. I know Sean Conway's gone up. A few good acts around here.
Yeah. I've got a lot of military mates up there.
Yeah.
And I reckon I don't want to come up too late, but I reckon I'd probably do okay up there.
Well, also, from my days in a band, regional shows pull a good crowd because there's fucking nothing on.
Yeah, that's
my
right.
My band, every week we have 100 to 150 people every week.
Wow.
Because... what else are they going to do?
That's good. Well, it's a social town, Darwin, right?
Yeah.
It's based around being social.
Mm.
It's multicultural, multiracial. It's just the most awesome place. It's just an epic hub. It's close to Asia if you want to go there. But everyone's so relaxed because of the weather, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Other than the build-up where everyone goes tropo, stabbing one another. You know?
The what?
They call it tropo season in October every year. Where it gets really muggy, but it doesn't rain. Okay. And it gets really hot. And because when it starts raining, it's when things cool down of an afternoon. But for the month leading up to it, it's really oppressive heat. And I remember in the Air Force up there climbing these big radio masts, and it was like having a house on your back and you're just sweating like a fat bloke in a phone box, you know.
Well, I'm from the Tropic of Capricorn in Queensland. It's 100% humidity.
Oh, well, you know all about that. Like Tully and all that, right?
Yeah, similar shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'd get out of the shower and walk into an air-conditioned room and get changed, and I have a sweat towel.
Yeah.
And then I'd go from the air-conditioning to my car, and by the time I sat in my car, it was like I'd been in a pool.
Yeah, yeah.
I fucking hate it.
You're fucking jerking off 5 fucking minutes later, you're in, having a shower.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're sweating in the shower.
Yeah. Fuck, I need a shower.
Yeah, like a cold shower is a different thing there. I used to enjoy cold showers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was...
Yeah,
you've been warm all fucking day.
Invigorating, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
When we'd have 2 weeks of winter,
we never have a hot shower after footy up there. It was all cold shower after footy. Fuck having a hot shower.
Yeah,
a cold shower and a fuckload of beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Probably a bit more than that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Were you afraid how the old? Did you have communal showers? Like, were you afraid how the old cold water would affect your hang down?
Nah, it's funny, we sort of had a policy in the military where we wouldn't comment if it, unless it was really critical, right? So if someone really had a, clearly had a bad case of something, you'd say, look, I hope you're getting on top of it, champ. But, you know, the cold water was, because I was short showers too, so when I was deployed to New Guinea peacekeeping, I only had a cold shower, very brief shower. You know, it was very, if you got one, it was very short, in, out, and not even time to even finger yourself, you know.
See, I'm a grower, not a shower. So I've, you know, when my dick's not at attention, not very impressive. But then when it's at attention,
it
goes all right.
But does it need attention? You know?
Well, no, I don't. That's exactly the place where I don't want the attention. But when I was in Germany, there were all those sort of showers, and I was like, and the Germans are running around slapping each other on the ass and fucking, there, it's a whole nother level.
Very liberal, right?
Yeah.
I tell you about Army Recruit School, right? They would say to us, you are not, this is in the 80s, you are not at Recruit School, Army Recruit, you are not to suck dick in the barracks, right? They're really homophobic motherfuckers, right, back then, right?
I've heard that.
Vietnam veteran guys, right? And then they go, oh, all 50 of you blokes can fucking shower together at the same time, right? And then you coop 50 blokes up on base for 3 months during recruit, mate, there's going to be some friendly fucking fire in there, hey? Like, they call it blue on blue, mate. It should be called fucking cream on cream, right? Fucking good men were shot in the face. No.
So, I guess it's the same. It'd be the same sort of thing as prison, where you're desperate for that contact of some sort, and there's a certain percentage of people that are going to gravitate towards that.
Well, the thing is, some people like that, and some people will be very closed, right? They'll be doing whatever they can. So we got made to stand on a table, bend over in front of every other soldier in the platoon as a way to bring everyone down to the same level. So every guy had to stand up on the table, everyone looked up their date. You had fucking 50 sets of eyes looking at your date.
So just why?
It was just to get everyone on the same level, you know, to bring you down so that you didn't have this overinflated sense of self-importance because you're in the army, right?
Mm.
Because they'll indoctrinate you in that capacity at a later date, right?
Okay.
You don't need to carry that sort of attitude in straight away.
Yeah.
They do, because the army say that you are better than everybody else, right? You're better than the civvy scum, because that's the mindset you have to have if you're going to win, right? Particularly if you're in, you know, a battle situation. If you're in
combat,
yeah, man, you got to win. You got to say, I'm going to win this no matter fucking what, right?
Well, do you want people combating ISIS that have been to a military camp where they have a safe space and they go and sit down and talk about, you know, their politically correct views? And are they the people that are going to win the war? Are they the people that are going to get the operation done? It's not conducive to that. But then on the other hand, I can't see any other avenue in life where that is acceptable. And even there, it's kind of not acceptable, but... Does it work?
It's interesting, right? I've got friends of mine who are serving the Special Forces, right?
Okay.
And they are really intelligent individuals. But at the same token, they also have this flair of, like a typical Aussie bogan, you know what I mean? But yet they're really smart guys, but still act like they're not, you know what I mean? Okay. Like they have a intellectual capacity to be able to, you know... perform in combat, and there's so many variables that go with that, you know, from weather conditions to how much ammo you got to your guys being okay,
mm-hmm.
you know. So these people are exceptional individuals, right?
Yeah.
But yet they'll go out and swallow a shitload of piss, make a cunt of himself. And that's the way of letting off steam, you know what I mean,
yeah.
I suppose. You know, that's the way of dealing with PTSD or traumatic incidents they've had, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter how smart you are, you're still going to be affected.
Well, there's intelligence and then there's smart.
Oh, EQ and IQ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's EQ?
Emotional intelligence, right?
Yes.
So that's having the ethics to say, I'm not going to shoot that kid,
yeah.
right? Or whatever. I've never been in that situation, but mm-hmm. I can imagine a guy, that commander, that had to throw that grenade in that room, you know?
Hmm. Well, I remember this guy I know, he's a fucking, one of the biggest pieces of shit on earth, but he was in the Army Reserves, and when they did the psychological testing, he was either he was a sociopath, he was on that end of the scale, they
wanted
to
right.
put him in the officers program.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be about right.
Because
yeah.
if he is totally the guy
yeah.
that if they said, you've got to invade this village and
yeah.
there's going to be heavy casualties of your men, he'd
yeah.
go, well, okay.
Yeah, they have to be quite narcissistic,
yeah,
centrics,
well,
yeah.
If how else are you going to send people, if you or I are compassionate people and you're thinking, fuck, I've been with these guys for 2 years, these are my best friends, they've kept me alive,
yeah.
and a lot of them are going to die.
Yeah.
You would be reluctant to do that.
Yeah.
But if you're a sociopath,
yeah.
you, okay, well,
oh,
let's get it done.
No empathy at all.
No, it's a benefit.
That's their trait,
mm.
no empathy, yeah.
And that's where it's going to help you.
Did you know that it's actually been listed as a medical condition, narcissism, like a
narcissism,
all right. is a natural medical condition.
Okay.
So it's in the medical journal, just came out the other couple of years ago.
What's the treat? Is there a treatment? Or is it just like something that they note?
I think it's, yeah, because my neighbour lives across the road. She's a clinical psychiatrist and we talk about this, right?
Yeah.
And they can be very destructive, poisonous people, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just fuck everybody's shit up. And what they're really good at is turning a half-truth into a full-truth, right?
Yeah.
Like, for example, I know this guy, he for years was telling me that he used to train with a champion boxer, right?
Okay.
And so I was convinced that he could handle himself. And then I found out from his brother later that, no, what it was is he got caught in bed with the boxer's wife and then the boxer punched the shit out of him. Now, technically, he was training the boxer. So, you know, they turn a half-truth into a full-truth. You know
yeah.
what I mean? That's how the way they operate.
Yeah.
They get a clasp of information and then they turn it into something fucking bigger that's not even right, right? Just so that
it's like the religious.
Exactly. Exactly.
They used to say at my church, a half-truth is a whole lie. But
yeah.
But then they turn half-truths into a business.
Yeah. They said Jesus was alone and all this shit went down. I mean, who the fuck... Did he tell people to write it down? You know what I mean? Like there was...
It didn't get written down for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
But it's infallible.
Someone knew it, right?
Yeah.
I knew he was there. He was at some fucking bush caught on fire.
Yeah.
Or one of them. Someone was there.
Yeah.
Fuck.
All right, man. I'm going to do these... play this game again called Cunty Questions.
Cool.
Cunty Questions.
And we had a good run last time.
I was very ethical last time with them, right?
You were.
Yeah.
You were. I was surprised.
Yeah.
You were. I would say you were gentlemanly rather than cunty.
You broke into my psyche there.
I did.
Yeah.
And you went a different way than I'd expected.
Yeah, yeah.
You showed your true colours as a gentleman and a scholar.
In a non-Christian capacity,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
Well, I wouldn't call Christians scholars. It's like that's like saying Harry Potter's an encyclopedia.
All right, mate.
All right. So, multiple choice.
Yep.
A, B or C.
Yep.
Is Coldplay a god-awful band?
Oh, no.
That's A, B or C.
Oh, A, B, or C. Okay, what do you got?
All right, if you lose your right testicle,
yeah,
is your left testicle still your left testicle?
It's a testicle.
I know. But has it lost its identity?
Well, would the right testicle backfill the left testicle? Or it's like...
Well, I think it'd centralize.
There's a recruitment process. Like they would have to say, look, for hire, testicle, left.
So the right one, you know, you get kicked in the nut and it explodes and they've got to take it out.
Yeah.
And you got one hanging out. Is it still the left? Does it just become the testicle, or is it still the artist formerly known as the left testicle?
No, it's the right, because the tube will still be the right tube.
Okay. All right. So it still maintains its identity.
If you want to get technical, it's right.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay. It's not.
Yeah.
All right. So my dad asked me this years ago, and I've been stumped on it.
Right.
This is the sort of conversations I have with my father.
That is involved.
Yeah, and I've never known the answer.
Right.
But I never considered that. The hardware's still there.
Yeah, but so, it's still in the position of right.
With the left
pocket's gone, right?
But as far as actual position, I feel like it would centralise.
Geographically, right?
Geographically.
If you're talking about the plumbing, right?
The plumbing, yeah.
It would probably sit level, wouldn't it? Sit in the middle, it'd be like middle of the road now, right?
Yeah, but I guess it's not fair to rob, if you lose your right one, it's not fair to rob your left one of its identity. It's gone through enough, it's lost its like best it's mate.
It hasn't got a serial number, for fuck's sake.
No, you know, his best friend's gone, you know, it's like an identical twin losing the other twin, and then you're not a twin anymore, your identity's gone.
There's a bit of left and right, and a bit of right and left, you know?
I think so.
Yeah.
Cool. And another one, someone brought this up to me. I was asking him some cunty questions, yep. And then they threw one at me, which I found interesting.
Ooh.
About eating human flesh.
Ah.
So if you could go to a restaurant,
yep.
And they served, you know, they got steak, they got chicken, and then they've got a bit of juicy thigh or breast of human.
Mm-hmm.
Would you eat it?
Oh, absolutely not. Not you wouldn't? A fucking chance.
Okay.
Not a chance. No.
You wouldn't be curious?
No.
Got a few angles on this.
Not a bit, right? This is really weird because, yeah, I'm happy to eat bacon, but I won't eat a human. See, right there, I'm rating pigs above people.
Yeah. Well, I think bacon would taste nice.
That's how much disdain I have for human race.
But what if, so...
Nah, wouldn't do it.
What if you remember that movie Alive, where they were in the Alps?
Yeah.
In that situation, I'm sure you'd change your mind.
If I crashed in that plane and I had a pet pig, say, called Jeff, right? I'd say, Jeff, you're in luck, man. You're going to be the only survivor here, right?
But what if it was... So what if it was like a rapist or someone that needed to die?
I think that would be like eating their energy, right?
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to take their mana, as the Māori people would say.
Because they've poisoned their body with those acts, vile acts, and that chemical imbalance that they have is still in their body,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're taking it in.
So if I was going to eat anybody, it would be, say, Michelle Bridges.
Yeah, lean,
oh,
organic.
Did you hear that she got fat shamed? Like she's fat shaming people, right?
Okay.
And she just had a baby. And so I was thinking, if, you know how people have fetal alcohol syndrome because their parents drink too much alcohol? Would Michelle Bridges' baby, would she have fetal boring syndrome?
Probably.
Look at that baby doing a sit-up.
Yeah.
Fucking banging.
Yeah, it's fucking punching it. Do your crunches.
Sorry, man, we got off track.
No, that's the name of the game. And if you were in some sort of a live situation, what would you eat first? What part?
Buttocks, I think, would be the starting point, right?
Yeah.
And I think thigh, yeah, your calves, your lower limb stuff initially, yeah.
If there's a male, so there's two people that have expired,
yeah.
One's a male, one's a female, which one would you least want to eat? See, I'd feel bad about eating the lady, but at the same time, I wouldn't want to eat the man.
Yeah, no, I'd definitely eat the guy first.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's doing his job, right?
Yeah.
I mean, let the lady have some dignity in her death, right?
Exactly.
The guy, he can take the hits. You know what I mean?
Fuck it.
Let the lady have some dignity.
Women cop enough abuse from men, I think.
We have monumentally fucked everything up, right? Yeah. We should be letting chicks run the show for the next 200 years and say, we fucking told you so, right?
Yeah.
You fucked shit up this much. Well, they would have had fucking ISIS. ISIS would have been sorted out by now, right?
Yeah.
Sent a heap of fucking hypochondriac fucking teenage kids in there with a fucking overreactive personality disorder, you know? Fucking, they'll be going, oh, fuck this.
Yeah. Worried about Caitlyn Jenner going into battle.
Yeah. No, I didn't know why I wanted to be shot by one of those cunts. You
know? Oh, awesome, man. Oh, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks for coming around again.
Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, it's been awesome as usual. So thanks for listening with Mick Gledhill, everybody. Cheers.